Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is about Russia violating NATO airspace in Estonia. And that was just earlier today. So three Russian MiG-31 fighter jets flying into Estonia, which is of course a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and flying around there and over the Gulf of Finland, Estonian airspace, even also over Estonian soil, for 12 minutes. So MiGs, as in Mikoyan, what was his name? Was it Anas Mikoyan, the Soviet aeronautical engineer who designed the original MiG jets? So it comes from his surname, and his surname was actually more like a K, like Mikoyan rather than Migoyan. But he got that position partly because his brother was Stalin's right-hand man for a long time. He died way back in the 70s, but so many Soviet and then Russian jets, always known as MiGs. So anyway, so some NATO jets scrambled, I think it was Estonian ones, and then they escorted them, and that was it. Now, considering that tensions are running high between the two, it was a blatant provocation. And unusually, Moscow hasn't even denied what they've done. Usually they'll say, lies, lies, lies. No, we weren't. We're in our territory. No matter how strong the evidence, they usually deny it. But in this case, they haven't even bothered doing that. So that is affirmative silence. You can imagine how furious the Russian reaction would be if NATO did the same. And NATO's, so far as I can think of, not done anything remotely approaching this since the Cold War. So Estonia has done what Poland did a few days ago about those MiGs not MiGs, those drones in their airspace, and that is Article 4 consultations. Article 5 is we've been attacked, come on, you need to fight, we're going to war. Okay, so Estonian Prime Minister Kristen Michal has said we've got to take action about this. Remember, there are 32 countries in NATO, which is both a strength and a weakness, because trying to get consensus, if not unanimity, and that's very difficult to achieve. Turkey, which is trading absolutely normally with Russia because they make plenty of money out of it, and they're mindful that Russia doesn't lean on Azerbaijan, which is their brother nation, and so forth. And that's why Turkey has played host to various peace talks. Hungary and Slovakia, which have been foot dragging, very reluctantly gone along with this, the only ones still buying Russian oil as such. But you know, there are other countries like the United Kingdom even buying refined Russian oil, get it refined in India and then sent over, which is, almost as bad. So none of them should buy any Russian products whatsoever, if at all avoidable. Anything you buy from Russia, you can buy elsewhere. Okay, the price would go up a little bit, but this is the price we're going to have to pay, because we know those Russian profits go into the war effort, go into building up their war machine, threatening NATO and doing things like this. So Russia's breached their airspace recently. Romania had its airspace violated by Russian drones a few days ago. So this is salami tactics, a thin slice and another thin slice. And so the Russians will be back, you can be sure of that. And it won't be three MiGs, it'll be four. And it won't be 12 minutes, it'll be 20. And the next time half an hour, and then 45 minutes, and then an hour, and over an hour. And why would they go further and further and further? Because there's been no firm response. So what could you do? You could violate their airspace, this is the fourth time it's happened so far this year. So that they test the willpower of NATO, is it the resolve, and they can push the boundaries further and further. Going just an inch over the first time, so that it's ambiguous, and if they lie, it's almost credible, and so forth. So the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says, "Okay, we're going to react to this." But nothing's been done. There could be more sanctions, could be expelling diplomats, could be more forces sent there. And like, Poland's NATO countries have sent more warplanes and things like that. When those drones entered Poland, of course, Russia immediately swung into action. Looks like they prepared for this with a big social media disinformation campaign, lying, saying it was Ukrainian drones trying to pose as Russian drones. And stuff like that. I don't know, there's an intelligence gathering aspect to what they do with the Russian drones, partly that they can see the NATO's response. I mean, I don't know anything about drones, whether they were spy ones or whatever. So there are all sorts of air defense missions over Polish airspace. Denmark, Germany, France, the United Kingdom are there. So think about Soviet Union. Obviously, it has a long border with Russia relative to Estonia's quite small size. It's a country of only 1 million people. It's about the size of Wales. I remember it was a Soviet republic, because they were invaded in 1940 and they only got free again in 1941. A lot of their intellectuals were taken off to slave labor camps, Karaganda, various places in Siberia, just trying to lobotomize Estonia. The attempted erasure of Estonia's identity as an independent nation. Now, if the Estonians had wanted to join the Soviet Union, I wouldn't have stood in their way, but very few of them did. They got a handful of Estonian communist exiles who were just Stalin's henchmen to say, oh yes, please liberate us from democracy. We can't possibly have a multi-party system and a free market. We've got to be starved to death and terrorized like in the USSR. Lovely. And there we are. And also, Estonia is a standing rebuke to Putin's Russia, because Estonia, with like no oil, no gas, like no coal, almost no metals, not much farmland, a small coastline, a language nobody else speaks. All right, it's related to Finnish. So many natural disadvantages. And they're much richer per capita than Russia through good governance, through independent courts, through sound institutions, sound money, incorruptibility. You invest your money will not be stolen. The courts are genuinely independent. You'll get a fair hearing of any contract case. People will be paid on time. So making an attractive investment climate, all the rest of it, robust democratic institutions and rights. So your property is secure. I mentioned you joined the European Union, joined the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now, I'm not a Europhile, but the EU is not all bad. And all right, the Estonians, they want to join it. If it was a stark choice between absorption into Russia and the EU, there's no question I would say join the EU, like United Kingdom. If it were binary, you either get conquered by Russia or rejoin the EU. Yes, I would join the EU in a split second. So there we go on. Anyway, Russia's going to do more and more of this. But what can you do? Now, the drones should have been shot down because that would have sent a clear signal. Plus, Russia would have lost them. It would have cost them some money. It would be good target practice for the pilots, the ground crews, no matter what. And the Russians would have moaned about it, but they would have learned, it's not worth it. But if you shoot down the planes, that's another matter, because you probably kill the pilots. If not, you capture them. Do you hand them back immediately, or you'd prosecute them, keep them, if they've entered the country illegally, in a sense? And probably they would have had them over immediately to try and calm the situation down. But Putin would say, we're on the edge of war. But we've been here before, because it was late 2015, no, early 2016, when a Russian jet flying over Syria entered Turkish airspace for a matter of seconds and was shot down by the Turks. One of the pilots was killed. The weapons systems officer, he bailed out. Eventually, the Russians, he crossed into Syrian territory, rescued by the Russian military. But Putin was hacked off about that one, but he got the message and they didn't do it again. Now, Russia banned all flights to Turkey, which hurt the Turkish economy, which is reliant on Russian tourists. Over 1 million Russian tourists go to Turkey every single year. Russians were still permitted to go on holiday there, but it was more difficult. And so a lot of them didn't. Partly it was an unpatriotic thing to do. But there's no single lever Putin can pull economically to hurt Western countries so much. I mean, he could stop selling all oil and gas, but they don't even buy that much anyway. And it would hurt him a lot more than it hurt other countries. So maybe firm action is a thing. I mean, I might have said not an inch that if you do this again, you'll be shot down. Because they were doing this way back in 2007. I remember discussing with one of our pupils. They said, well, I said that if it happens again, we'll shoot you down. I thought, come on, no, that's been a reaction. We don't want war. But they've done it countless times. And they will always victim blame, oh, you've aggressed us. Just like it's all Ukraine's fault that Russia's invaded them and so on. And there are enough useful idiots out who fall for this kind of thing. I meet these Kremlin shills virtually all the time, are saying, oh, yes, the West provoked this, and absolute ahistorical nonsense like that. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Then PayPal, George Callahan, 7@gmail.com. Goodbye.